So there are some states where going from one county to the next county, you can have 10 rounds in one and 15 rounds in another. And then the same with if you're traveling and you're going from state to state. So I always wondered, what do you do in a situation like that if you're traveling or you're going to go stay in another state for a month and now you've only got the one gun that, maybe carries 15 rounds or whatever type of gun it is that now all of a sudden that state's banned. I mean, trying to keep up with all of this is pretty crazy. So how do you manage that part of it?
The ATF is coming out with bans on, certain stocks on pistols and all kinds of stuff. So, really, I understand completely. It's very hard to keep up with this. I always say the best rule of thumb is to abide by the law as much as you're willing to. And that might sound crazy to say to the general public, but it's a reality. At some point, you have to do what's best for you, what's going to protect you. So abide by the law as much as you're willing to. You try to keep up with the law and stay out of trouble, because if you get caught with certain things, like you said, it's very easy for them to flip the switch from one county to another, and next thing you know, you're a felon. And so
Right.
stick to the law as much as you can. Always have backup. If the law is that you can only have 10 rounds in the weapon in a magazine, carry a bunch of magazines with 10 rounds in them. You might have to get really good at mag changes if that's what you're only willing to do, right?
Right.
Or you could always carry a bag with more rounds in it. That's, it comes down to what you're willing to do and what you see as your personal right and your personal freedom. I'm not encouraging anybody to do that, please. I hope you don't get me wrong, but I will say that at some point you have to decide how much you're willing to take and then how much you're willing to not take, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, without getting into an argument here, not argument, discussion. We have certain constitutional rights to self-protection, and that those are not government didn't give us those rights, so they can't prohibit those rights. And that's my view on things, but that's
Absolutely.
probably a whole nother solution series. Right there, we go right there. Maybe that's go over that.
I'm in agreement here.
Okay,
Me
so
too.
let's talk if we can about mitigating that risk. So how about let's do this? Let's start on the outside and then we'll move ourselves into the home. So you're outside, you go out with your significant other, you go out to do a ball game or to dinner or to a movie or something, and something happens while you're in the movie and you don't realize that there's some unrest when you come out and you're driving your normal way home, you stop at a light. And next thing you know, some people are kind of coming up, been crowding around the car. We've all seen the scenes. You get out of the car, you see people that get out of the car. Doesn't end well for those folks typically. But people are hanging over your car. I mean, who really has the? It's kind of hard just to run over folks. Who wants to be responsible for harm doing that? I mean, having that on their head. So it's a really bad situation to be in. And we hope that no one in this viewing audience ever gets in that situation, but we have to sort of at least speak about it. So if we could talk about that, and again, we'll just start on the outside, coming after shopping at the mall. When you come out, if it's dark, how do you assess the environment to make sure that you're, especially if you're a female, walking into a trap or something. So let's see if we can start outside for, personal awareness or situational awareness, and then we'll move into the home and talk about how to guard the home. Does that sound okay with you, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Corey, you on board with that?
Yep, sounds good to me.
Excellent.